Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
How does our area rate when it comes to buying cars? Do we tend to overspend, or are we on the other end of the spectrum? Are we frugal? Well, you're about to find out, because Wallet Hub did a study of cities where people spend the most on cars and where they spend the least, where we're most conservative in terms of buying a vehicle. Jill Gonzalez is an analyst with WalletHub.com, and she's going to give us the lowdown on this study. I thought it was very interesting looking at our area here in the Washington, D.C. area. Potomac, Maryland, and Chevy Chase are two of the areas that are the most frugal on buying a car. And yet we look over at College Park and we see that they overspend on cars. Does that have something to do with the college students being in that area?
It does, definitely. I mean, if you look at some of the top 10 places on this list, Chevy Chase is in there. McLean is also in there. Places like Cupertino, California, where Apple is, Scarsdale, New York, all very affluent areas. So, of course, their income is anywhere from $90,000 to over $100,000 on average. So because that income is higher, they can afford to have a lot less car loan debt because of that. So it's the opposite end of the spectrum when you're talking about a College Park or several other college cities and towns toward the bottom of this list. Their average income, only about $4,000 to maybe $10,000 annually, probably due to a part-time job. And then they have, unfortunately, more car loan debt.
That is amazing. You would think that because they're in college, that they would be more frugal in buying a car, whereas people living in some of the wealthier suburbs could actually afford to pay more, but we shop better. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are getting better cars in the more affluent areas. We're really looking at the debt-to-income ratio, so they can afford a lower car loan than those college students.
Okay. So when you started doing this study, what prompted it? Why were you looking at it? Is it because there's been such a real volume boom in car sales?
Absolutely. We've seen year-over-year records as far as car sales go for the past 2 or 3 years. We're projected to hit 17 million car sales by the end of this year as well. We're seeing record low gas prices as well. I think that's been noted a lot, especially with the start of the year. So consumers are definitely, and they have been, saving up to buy a new or used car, basically a car that's new to them. So this combination of pent-up demand, low fuel prices, and consumers who now have a little bit more money to spend because of a strengthening economy all lead to booming automobile sales.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you see the ads on television that talk about how much of an increase there is in sales in cars. And of course, they're trying to sell you a car. But nevertheless, it does make sense. Well, when people are looking at buying, now, it seems to me like some of the cities where they overspend, some of the areas where they overspend for cars, seems to me like they ought to take a hard look at the way they're doing things. I mean, because if they're overspending on cars, you're wasting money. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of this is just the interest on loans that people really build up over a good chunk of time. And obviously, that takes them longer to pay it off. It's more interest on the loan. So you see this snowball effect, and you see it with any kind of debt, really. But with car loan debt, that's a little bit more controllable, you know, as to what cars you're looking at, what financing options you're looking at as well.
So what you really need to do is shop around, see what's available. And don't just buy a car because it's beautiful and it's shiny and you love the color. Although I think that when we're younger, we tend to do that. And that interesting also to see that some of the cities where there are colleges, like Williamsburg, there's big schools in Williamsburg. Williamsburg, Virginia is one of the ones that's where people overspend on cars. A little bit surprising to me. But College Park, no, with a large student population there. But what are some of the reasons? Let's take the people who are overspending. I mean, you know, I applaud the frugal. I'm a frugal person myself. Believe me, I shop when I'm looking at cars. But the overspending, what stimulates people to pay more than they should for a car? Is it partly lack of knowledge, or is it just that, well, I like this car and I'm going to buy it?
I think so. It's partly lack of knowledge. It's partly not really looking at, again, your debt-to-income ratio, which really does take a huge effect here. And then it's a lot of people looking at the short term rather than the long term. So sometimes that could be anything from an interest-free loan that maybe sounds really attractive for the next 6 to 12 months. After that, you're really paying a pretty penny on this car that you thought was more affordable, but really ends up costing you more in the long run.
And so it's up to the consumer. When they're looking at a loan that's interest-free for the first year, what is it really going to cost you? You're going to pay for that. You may not be paying it right now, but you're going to pay it down the road because I hate to tell them there's no free lunch. So they're, what are they, looking at balloon payments and increased rates in the second year and they're on in the loan?
Yes, exactly. And now there's really no excuse to fall for a trap like that. There are car loan calculators online that you can really look at before you're at the dealer. Or with so many people having smartphones, you can pull it up while you're talking to a car salesman.
You can see what's available to you. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure you have a lot of stuff at wallethub.com for consumers who are interested in buying a car.
We do. We have a car payment calculator. So you type in your loan amount or your proposed loan amount, the loan term, interest rate, and then you'll get your monthly payment and how long it will take you to pay off.
Okay, and that's a really valuable thing. And the length of that loan, I mean, people, and this was one of the things that I think you pointed out when I was reading the results of the study, is that the people with poorer credit end up paying more over a longer period of time.
Absolutely. So that's really another tip, and it's harder to follow than some others. I mean, if you can wait to buy a car, then really try to build up or rebuild your credit before then, because buyers who have fair credit end up paying about 6 times more to finance their vehicle than someone with excellent credit. So it sounds like a lot, but in money terms and dollar terms, that's about $6,000 just in additional interest over the standard $20,000 5-year loan.
Wow, that is an incredible amount of money. When you stop and think they were in hard financial straits to begin with, and now it's even worse. And I suppose that, you know, on taking the side of the lender, they have to look at the likelihood that these people is going to forfeit on this loan, and what are the debts that the bills that are going to incur to the lender, and if someone is less likely to completely pay off the loan. So those are the factors I suspect that have something to do with the fair credit person paying more over a longer period of time.
Right. So really when lenders are looking at your credit score, it's how much of a risk you are, right? How much risk you have to A, paying your bills, B, paying on time, and C, not falling delinquent here. So that's what they're looking at, and they will reward you accordingly.
Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez, an analyst with WalletHub.com. And we're talking about a study they did about how we overspend or how, on the other end of it, in some areas, we're more frugal when it comes to buying a car and the ramifications of having poor or just fair credit in terms of what it's going to cost you to buy that car. So you found that the subprime group, now that's people who have poor credit, not just fair credit. Is that a fair statement?
Right. So the better that your credit is, the less in interest and the better interest rates you'll have.
It doesn't seem quite fair, but that's just the way it is, isn't it? I mean, people, is there such a thing as usury laws? I mean, can you be charged any amount the market will bear?
Yeah, a lot of the times you can be. It depends what type of loan that you're looking at and from which kind of lender you're looking at as well.
Okay. So if I am looking into buying a new car, so what's the first thing that I should do before I hit the pavement to find this dream vehicle? Sit down and assess my financial status and get my credit reports, copy of my credit bureau files?
Absolutely. So know your credit score before you go. You really want to make sure that you know if you're in good standing, excellent, fair, just so you can see the realm of what you might be paying in terms of an interest rate. And then secondly, not all financers are created equally, especially when you're looking at these loans. So if you're going to, say, a small bank and knowing maybe it's your community bank, you know, maybe it's your bank that you've been with for years and years, on used cars, they're charging around 5.3% interest right now. But if you went to, say, a bigger national bank, you might see more like 4%. So definitely know where you're going, what you're looking at in terms of financing, and if you're buying new or used.
Now, is that someplace that consumers can go online and find out what kind of interest rates are available? But that depends on their credit. So how do you do that? How do you make an even playing field to figure out whether you go to bank A, B, to a credit union, or even finance it through the dealership?
Shop around. You can get a quote from all of them. So I think that really is your best bet, obviously, besides looking at what type of car you're looking at. And even that can definitely play a part in what you're playing. So right now, Dodge, Nissan, Honda, Mini, they offer the lowest financing rates out of the major car manufacturers that we surveyed.
Mm-hmm.
If you are leasing, and we'll get into that a little bit later as well, Chevy, Jaguar, Volvo, and Toyota are your best bets.
Okay. So, and you've got all this information at WalletHub.com, so people should really check that out before they check out the dealer, right, or check out that vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. Even narrowing the scope a little bit, so say you've narrowed it to a Dodge, Nissan, Honda, or Mini, then you can really look into the next things as far as interest rates, as far as if you want to buy new or used, think about how the car will be used and be driven. Do you want to lease? Do you want to buy? All of these things you really should think about before you go to a dealer.
And how long are you going to keep it? How long do you plan on keeping the car?
Right.
That's probably a question that arises when you're looking at leasing versus buying. Is that one of the considerations?
Absolutely. I think it's probably the biggest consideration, sometimes the only consideration. So if you do plan to keep your car for only 3 years, almost 90% of manufacturers will give you a better deal if you finance instead of lease.
Okay.
I mean, always do the math to make sure that you're maximizing savings, but I think a lot of people think, hey, 2-3 years, I'll lease. Really not the case.
Okay. So then when would it be to a consumer's advantage to lease a car, or is there ever such a time?
There is rarely a time. I would say 10% of the times you should go with a lease, and that really comes down to what your manufacturer is going to be offering you in terms of financing, well, in terms of leasing deals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, Chevy, Jaguar, Volvo, Toyota have the best leasing offers right now.
Okay. So when you're looking at a lease, now I've never leased a car, but I know people who do, then you're probably going to be someone who's going to trade that car in fairly often. You need to check and see how much your lease is going to be, and you can compare that across the board to different vehicles.
Right. So just for a quick example here, say you go to Chevy, you want a new car, you're deciding if you should finance or lease. As of this quarter, their financing rates, this is for excellent credit, were about 1.99%, leasing 1.91%. So a very slight difference, but in this case, it might be better to lease if you'll only have the car for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
but generally, not the case.
Well, because you're investing in something and you're keeping it long term. Now, do these rules apply to used cars as well, Jill, or do we have to have some different considerations when we're buying a new car?
A little bit different. So interest rates for new cars right now are pretty much at their lowest point in the past 3 years. So a new car loan now charges 16% less interest than the average used car loan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you were ever considering buying new, say you are one of those people with a car that's 11, 12, 13 years old, which is right around the average age of a car now on the road, and if you have been considering buying new for some time, this really is the time to do it.
Okay, so you may end up paying more for a used car in terms of your financing than you would if you bought a new vehicle.
Correct.
And does the age of the vehicle impact the amount of interest that you're charged on the loan?
It more so, that would more so be affected in terms of insurance.
Okay.
Not necessarily a loan.
Okay, so the loan itself may be about the same. Why do you think that is that lenders charge you more to buy a used car?
Well, I mean, they're not making as much money up front on the used car, right? So they're going
That's
to be
true.
Wanting that in interest and in loan terms so that they can draw that out a little bit longer, preferably.
Okay.
So that is the stock of it. And then in terms of manufacturers, they have so much new inventory that they need to be pumping out that they really would prefer to sell you new.
Okay. And for some consumers, that may be the absolute answer. Again, if it's something that you're going to keep a car for a long time, well, me, I keep them 10 or 11 years usually before I even think about trading them in. Well, you know, I've gotten used to them and they still run. So that's kind of my philosophy. But at any rate, not everybody's like that. But let's just take a brief pause here to let everybody know they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jill Gonzalez. She's an analyst with WalletHub.com. And we're talking about a survey that they did on how people spend money, whether or not they overspend or they're frugal when they purchase a car, and also some of the factors that go into the car purchasing decision or, again, the car leasing. What were some of the takeaway things that came out of this study for you, Jill, that you felt were the most significant?
Well, I think we touched on a little bit, you know, in terms of leasing or financing, what's the best way to go. 9 times out of 10, it really is going to be to finance, no matter how long the length of time you're having that car, you think you'll have that car.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important to sit down and figure out what it's really going to cost you over a period of time. Now, when you're shopping for a loan, do car loans allow you to pay them off early? Do they charge you a penalty if you pay them off early? Because that's going to save you interest in the long run if you suddenly find yourself getting a raise and you can make higher payments. Is that one of the things that consumers run into as a problem getting a loan for buying a car?
Most will allow that. Again, it's going to depend on your specific loan and what type of lender you got that loan from and the terms. But I think the other thing to really look into is the transparency here in the financing terms and in the loan. So, you mean you brought that up. That's something that you should know before you sign anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the possibilities for me? What can I do and what can't I do? So we looked into the manufacturer transparency here as well. And these leasing offers are tough to get through, especially for just one individual.
Who can read them, Jill? I mean, really, they should be in English, but they're legalese.
Exactly. And that's what we did. We read through a lot of them, actually, from all of the big manufacturers, and we graded them on a transparency score from 1 to 10.
Making it easy for the consumer to understand what, in fact, they're getting.
Exactly. So, A, where are the terms located? Are they on the first page or are they on the last page? Once you do see the terms and find them, how easy are they to actually understand? So we kind of grade them and all of these things. The highest score was a 6 out of 10, but quite a few manufacturers did attain that. Everyone from Mazda, Infiniti, BMW, Mercedes, Kia, Toyota, just to name a few. On the opposite side of things, we got scores of just 2 out of 10.
Oh, really? Whoa.
Yeah, from manufacturers like Volvo, Buick, Cadillac, and Chevrolet.
They don't want you to know what they're doing. Oh, my. Well, you know, that's unfortunate because as a consumer, that kind of thing kind of turns me off. I don't like it when I feel that you're not being as straightforward with me as you should be and treating me like I, you know, deserve your respect. I don't think that's very respectful of consumers to make it so difficult to understand terms of a loan.
Exactly, and we agree. And we do this across the board. You know, we've done it for other types of loans in the past, for credit card companies as well. It's definitely something that consumers run into time and time again. You know, you don't want to have to bring your lawyer to go car shopping with you.
Well, sometimes you feel like you do. You know, we don't, most of us don't shop for a car very often. So we're at a disadvantage when we're out there because it's not something we're used to doing. I guess that's one of the reasons it's really so important that you do all your homework. Now, do you, you have the results of this study at WalletHub.com. You have things about the transparency and so on. Do you have any sample any sample forms that would be, what I'm trying to say is, are there models out there for lenders to use in dealing with consumers?
There are certainly models. I mean, it varies from manufacturer to manufacturer, from bank to bank, so we definitely encourage you to go to their website. Some manufacturers provide complete leasing info on its website for any car combo a consumer may choose. Some don't. So that's, again, kind of going into this whole transparency aspect.
Well, that's important. Now, do these companies know how you rated them on transparency, the ones that particularly are not very transparent?
Yeah, we reached out to every single company. Not all of them responded, but we did let them know our exact methodology here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you should. Well, you know, it seems to me like it behooves a company to be more consumer-friendly in terms of the information they give, because that makes the consumer feel more comfortable. I don't like reading something where I can't understand it. I mean, I think it puts me at a disadvantage, and I wouldn't, you know, that would kind of be a decision in my doing business with them.
Exactly, and it would be our hope that all of this is offered online now. You know, you can just go to the website, find anything you want. But we also went offline as well, you know, before we could call and get more information.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't even give you the complete lease offline.
Wow.
So, you know, it really is going to differ. If you go into a car dealership, you might get one rate one day from one person and a completely new one the next day. And I think we've all kind of felt like that's exactly what we were dealing with.
Well, you know, the problem with that, too, is I don't recommend that people go out and buy a car the first day they go shopping. I think you need to look around. You need to go to various dealerships. You need to get various contracts, the fine print, and take them home and spend the time to analyze them and understand them. Because you're talking about, as you've pointed out, thousands of dollars. I mean, that makes a lot of difference in what else I can go do with my money.
Exactly. It makes really the world of difference here. So if you can, really, again, try to build or rebuild your credit score before really doing any of these other steps.
Well, then people probably should get a credit score, not just their looking at their credit record. Because when you're about to undertake a purchase, the higher that score is, and there are a lot of things that you can, well, no, I take that back. There are some things that you may be able to do to help raise your credit score if you start doing it and working on it in time.
Absolutely. There are things that you can do over 3 to 6 months to improve your credit score a little bit. Again, up to a year to really see a great improvement in your credit score. But little things, just like how much credit you're actually utilizing. If you're putting everything on one card and utilizing almost 100% of your credit line and then putting 0% on another card, that's not really making a lot of sense. So even, you know, doing little things like that, just restructuring your buying habits really can go a long way.
Yeah, and that's one thing consumers don't realize. It's not how much credit you have available to you. It's whether or not you're maxing out that credit. And if you have several cards where you've only used part of the available credit, that's a lot better than having that same amount of debt on one card. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to consumers, but that I think that's the way it is. Well, Jill, thank you. It's been very informative. I'm, you know, since so many people are buying cars, I'm hoping that they will take your information, sit down, and do some real due diligence before they head out to the dealerships. And you've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Jill Gonzalez, an analyst with WalletHub.com, and their website is WalletHub.com. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for being with us.
Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.